You're listening to The Breakfast Show on Faith FM. This is Scaffy and Lawson here. It's 8.05 a.m. and we have quiz number four of the day. Lawson.
Okay, next quiz question is simply this. Why did King Saul originally send for David? King Saul, you know, what did he want? If you know the answer, 0491-064-669. If you know the answer to that one, if you know what King Saul wanted from David and originally sent for him, the reason why, you will go into the draw to win the Conflict of the Ages box set. This is one of our best prizes that I think we've ever given, simply because this has some of the deepest, most powerful truth there is in it. The Bible. We have the Word of God as the standard of truth. Simultaneously, we have, these amazing books that go through from before creation till after recreation by Ellen White, The Conflict of the Ages. We want to give these to you absolutely for free. They'll be a massive blessing. Again, the only way to get them is to answer quiz questions correctly. Why did King Saul originally send for David? That is the question. 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer to that one. This will be a huge blessing to you.
And I just want to say a shout out for our listeners in Gloucester, New South Wales, who listen to us at 88.0 FM. Hey, a shout out to you listening from Gloucester. If you're there and you're listening from Gloucester, send us a message here. Let us know that you're with us, and we'd love to get to know you. And we have some messages, Lawson, in regards to a few things that we have been discussing here. Earlier on, we were talking about who's your favorite, singer or artist. Yeah. And Wayne said, good morning, blessings. I listen to Shell's song mix.
Producer Shell.
Where is Shell's song mix, Lawson? Is it in Spotify?
Yeah, so you can jump onto the Faith FM app or, faithfm.com.au, and you'll find it there in the records, mixes of songs that Shell puts together. She also, has her, show every Thursday with the music there. And a lot of the playlists that we're running on Faith FM, when we don't have speaking content, when it's music content, it's done by Shell. She is, in my opinion, she's the best DJ out. We've got DJ Brian in. He's doing a good job holding down the fort while she is away in the United States at the moment. But DJ Shell is incredibly passionate about spiritual music.
And so that you have an idea, Shell is not here with us. That's why I'll say this. She's on a break now. She's taking holidays, very well-deserved holidays. And she told me that she has a key, Lawson and Brian. Did you know that she has a real discipline, a real system and method for choosing and selecting the best songs for you, listener? She told me that she every so often she goes on walks and she's listening to song after song after song, new releases, old songs, and she's contemplating lyric by lyric. And she said, hey, she's praying. She said, is this going to be uplifting to our listeners? Mm. And she does that. So this is why she finds out real gems. And I'll tell you this, it is very rare to find people that do this these days. And the reason is that usually if you're in any song platform, you listen to one song, the artificial intelligence just recommends songs that are like that one for you. Mm. So there's not a lot of exploring. The robot is just giving you the songs that they think that you're going to like, but they all look very similar to the ones that you like already. Mm. So people are becoming less and less eclectic. And yet Shell brings the old age wisdom of, of looking for the best songs and sharing it with the listener.
That's right. Shell is truly a tastemaker here on Faith FM. She is doing an incredible job. And so we appreciate her a lot. And I get comments all the time, Shell's music. And as Wayne is
and
writing
in. This is the only breakfast show, Lawson, in Australia, I think, that you have news with music. Because either you just have music or you have news with ads.
Yeah.
That are
but we're giving it all to you guys.
You have all here.
You will be blessed. So got a text in from Amy. She says, I listen to the Gaither Band. They sing and glorify God beautifully. My favorite song, the Gaither Band, is the Gaither Band version of Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. Amy, thank you so much for sending that. That's powerful. We might have a look,
play it, yeah.
Have a look to get that one queued up for you, Amy. But yeah, these kinds of artists are just fantastic, such a blessing. And we really advocate for, as we've been talking about this morning, talking about secular music, talking about Taylor Swift and whatnot. But now, hey, let's give everything to God, including our music tastes. Let him work in our ears. Let him work in our life.
That's right. And Wayne said as well, Shell should make a yearly CD of her favorite songs lost and for the year and sell it as a Christmas gift.
Yeah. I you know what? I think, though, Shell is too generous. Like, she's
going to be selling it.
She doesn't. She's like, oh, just have it.
But look, you can have like a playlist of Shells in Spotify or YouTube Music or whatever platforms you have. You can do this, and you can have like a public playlist. But you know what? I sympathize with Wayne's suggestion here that Shell is has a great taste for music. I think that too. Wayne, the only thing is, I don't listen to CDs, and I haven't listened to a CD in a long, long time. It looks like Wayne still uses them. I'm wondering if anyone out there still uses a CD. Do you use CD, Lawson?
Nah.
Do you use, Brian, CDs?
A little bit.
CD? Two CDs? Two CDs.
There was even a time.
I don't even have a CD player anymore.
So I got into collecting records because it was like the cool eclectic thing to do. And I had about like 50, 60 vinyl. A lot of them.
Are they expensive?
A few of them are expensive. A lot of them kind of a bargain. Oh, probably like 50 plus.
Yeah, wow.
But a lot of them were kind of bargain bin. And then I just kind of ran out of love for it. I was like, I'm not feeling this anymore. Like, yeah. I'll just go back to...
Yeah, I have some friends that are big into the vinyls.
I was like, look, you know, I'd like listening to... Because people are like, oh, the vinyl and the sound that it makes, and if you get a good record player and a good stereo system, and I had all of those things. I had a good record player, good stereo system,
that's an investment.
Good headphones, all this stuff, and listening to these old press vinyls, I'm like, that's all right. Like, could just listen to this on my phone. So I've very much moved away from physical media.
And Wayne sent another message here. He said, good morning again. Doesn't Israel continue to following the Torah? Doesn't the Torah in the laws of Moses say an eye for an eye? If this is so, I imagine their war will not stop till they are satisfied and an eye has been paid back.
Mm, this is a lot of the conflict that we're seeing in the Middle East at the moment. Kind of tit for tat.
Yeah.
Eye for an eye.
Yeah,
you do this, we do this.
There's some things here, Wayne. These are interesting questions here, because while the Torah says eye for an eye, there's a context, and the context is in legal proceedings, judicial things. So they were going to be starved, when God took Israel out of Egypt, they were a nation of slaves. They were absolutely not organized in anything, and they needed to have laws that would organize them. So the eye for an eye has to do, if someone take an eye of you, what would people do before the days? They'll say, hey, if you're taking one eye out of me, I'm going to take the two eyes out of you. And then your cousin comes and says, hey, you took in two eyes out of me. This is not fair. I'm going to take two eyes and a feet or your neck. And before you know it, there is an escalation of violence. So the principle of the eye for an eye here, tooth for a tooth, is this. Okay, if you have been damaged in $10, you're going to be restituted in $10. Or you have been... So the idea is there is that the judge will do something that is fair.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it does not escalate. So it does not necessarily apply to all areas of life. And the Old Testament, including, says, give your if someone slaps you on the cheek, give the other cheek. We think this is a Jesus statement, because it is a Jesus statement, but he's borrowing that from the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah wrote that, and of course, both inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the idea that forgiveness is greater than vengeance is great, but at the same time, you cannot impose forgiveness in anyone.
Yeah.
So when you come to the court, the judge cannot say, okay, yes, that man stole your car, you have to forgive him. The judge cannot do that. But they can say, okay, yeah, he stole your car, he has to give you a car back.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, eye for an eye, we practice this in civil cases anyway. If you kill someone, you get life in jail. Like this.
So
is,
civil case, exactly. So eye for an eye does not apply to geopolitical or, foreign affairs situations. So it's a little bit different. But I agree with Wayne, and I think that we talked, Lawson said that, I think. And I think it was brilliant. Says, no, the only, or was it Brian? I do not know. But someone said that the only answer to these wars is forgiveness. If at some point someone says, you know what? whatever you've done in the past, I forgive you. I do not hold that against you. Let's wipe it clean. Let's start from scratch. And this is the only way, the only foundation where peace can actually be found.
Yeah, this is what Jesus advocates for.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
Hey, we've got another message in from Stuart. He says, regarding violence to women, we have a generation of fatherless men who have been raised by violent and pornographic video games. Pretty point blank there from Stuart.
Well, it's sure. That's definitely what I would say. That's one of the causes. And I would say not only games, media, music, movies, culture.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's all encompassing. I think that something that Justin said just stood out to me so brightly. I was like, that is so profound. And he said, we need to learn how to be sober emotionally. Sober emotionally. I thought this was so profound.
Yeah. Expand on that, Lawson. What do you think that he meant by being emotionally sober? What would be the opposite of being emotionally sober?
Well, like sobriety in general is talking about not being controlled or ruled by or intoxicated by a particular thing. And we often associate that with, say, alcohol. I would say emotional sobriety is to be a person who in the hardest of times, because that's usually when we get most emotional, who leans on principle rather than desires, just vain desires and urges and whatnot. And I was so impressed by that. He's like, we need to be sober emotionally. Now, does this mean you can't be an emotional person in terms of like, you can't be happy, you can't be sad, you can't be upset, you can't, and even like, so like, if we take it into, if you're a married person, maybe the very romantic emotionally. No. Like, we're not saying this. We're not saying that you are not allowed to be emotional. Like, it's even one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah. All of the people, they're repenting for their sins and they're deeply grieved, like just crying and upset. And that was a good process for them to go through.
Yes.
And then the response from the priest is, okay, now we've repented. Let's eat the fat. Let's drink the sweet. Let's celebrate for what the Lord has done in restoring us. Let's celebrate. Let's be happy. The Bible isn't saying you can't be emotional. The Bible isn't.
So emotions are not your enemy.
No. But being, having your behavior
being controlled by them,
be controlled by emotion rather than principle is what the devil wants for you more than anything else.
Yeah, and Lawson, I once heard, I once heard this phrase. We often think that human beings are rational beings capable of emotions. And then someone says, no, it's the other way around. We are emotional beings. Wow. Capable of being rational.
Wow.
So let us use that rationality of ours. That's so that you have an idea, Lawson. It's kind of getting into a little bit of the news segment here. But, the New South Wales police arrested a number of teenagers who were connected with the teenager that stabbed Bishop Mari Emanuel a couple of weeks ago. And they arrested them. After these events, for the first time, the original boy that is being detained in being prosecuted as a terrorist, his parents, they just spoke to the public. And what they said? They said that his son had major anger management issues. And all the other kids, so they call themselves the Warriors of God or the Soldiers of Allah, Soldiers of Allah in one of their WhatsApp groups. And these parents says all of these kids, they have severe mental health issues. Some of them, they said that they are in the spectrum of autism. And not saying that this is one thing leads to another, but they're saying that we're talking with people with significant mental challenges here that are not being managed in any in any positive way.
Yeah.
And so I guess that being emotionally sober, what I want to say is how can you take these strong emotions that are burning in your chest and how can you manage them?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I think often,
what do you do, Lawson, when you're feeling extremely angry at something? What do you personally do?
So this is a journey that I was having a conversation with someone about this yesterday, about my journey in this. And I think the last time when I really had a massive blow up, like a really huge, massive emotional blow up where I got like angry. I'm not like a particularly violent person, but it was like kind of violence towards myself. Violent words, violent anger. I'm not directed at anyone, praise God. It was about 2019, and I remember at that I was going through that, and I became a Christian in 2016, 2017, and I'd been on a journey, and I remember having this blow up because I was actually struggling with something to do with the Australian government, and just getting mucked around and whatnot, and I had this blow up, and I remember it was in front of my dad. My dad saw me. I'm a 20-year-old man, and my dad saw me just get so upset and emotional and angry and just say some very violent words. And my dad was really disappointed in me. He's just like, Lawson, what are you doing? And my dad's not a Christian. And I remember being so convicted, like, I'm a bad witness. Like, my dad is not a Christian. I am, yet I'm misrepresenting Christ to him. And I just started to pray every single day, like, God, take my anger away from me.
That.
I started to read the Bible and claim promises regarding this. I started to say, I'd do some things like when I would find myself in difficult situations. I want to shout out Jennifer Skews at this point. She talks about putting your hand on your heart and just slow breathing and whatnot. I started to practice these practical aspects, but then also looking at the spiritual as well, looking at like, God, please help me. Please enable me to be able to do this. And now in my interpersonal relationships, people see me as a calm person. People see me as a peaceful person. I get stressed sometimes, but like I never direct that anger towards people.
I love that, Lawson, because this is what I like to call preemptive prayer.
Yeah.
So you know what you struggle with. You know where your mind tends to wander. You know where your emotions tend to go. So before you even start your day, you're saying, God, please help me with that.
Mm.
And you have found that God is faithful in that.
Dude, 100%.
My two cents here is that when what I learned is that when I'm feeling like strong emotions of injustice or anger, I learned to go to God and vent out them and not measure my words.
Mm.
You know, did you know, listener, that you do not need to measure your words when you come to God in prayer?
Mm.
God has a very wide shoulders, very broad shoulders. And you can say, I never swear. I don't think that ever seen me swearing anything. But, you know, the very few times that I did swear, guess where or in whose presence did I swear? To God.
Wow.
Because I know that I know that God can handle all of the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of my full emotions. And every time that I come to God and I tell him exactly what is happening, what is bothering me, and then I stop and I try to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to me. And in these times, this is where God gives me grace. So it's like an exchange. I come to God with my issues, with my problems, my anger, with my, you know, rough emotions, and I leave the session with peace. Mm. One time I was talking to a counselor, and she was asking me, how did you deal with all of these, you know, things that has happened in your life, all these dramas and people that, you know, wronged you and all these types of things? It seems that, and she said, look, it seems that you're quite resolved with these things. I said, you know what, thank you for that, but I cannot claim any credit because it is God. Because I went there, and sometimes, Lawson, there were periods that I would be spending 4 or 5 hours just walking around the lake and saying, God, I cannot believe this is perplexing me and so on. Mm. But every single time without fail, God gets all of these, it's just like I deposit all of these strong emotions at his throne.
Mm.
And I receive grace and peace back. And I can tell you time and time again where that has happened. So that has been my go-to place. Whenever I am stormed by whatever emotions it is, I go to God, I pray, I offload that on him. And when I do so, I ask him, God, what promises do you have for me? Help me to see this from a different perspective. And he does.
Yeah, I love that, because people ultimately don't deserve that. We're talking here about domestic abuse, and often the language that's shared around that by abusers is, oh, this is what you've made me do because you made me upset and now I'm acting in this way. And this is, again, a discussion I was having with someone yesterday. Like, there's just no excuse for bad behavior. If we could excuse bad behavior, if we could excuse sin, then Jesus wouldn't need to die for it. Because it would just be like, oh, no, Satan did this because of this. Yeah, like,
there's no choice. You have no choice. Yeah,
No.
We always have a choice.
There is always a choice. And again, our inner man, you know, our lower feelings, like that, man, our passions, they drive us to do things that we heavily regret sometimes, and like bad behaviors and whatnot. But this is why, like God gives us these powerful promises in the Bible. I'm thinking of Ephesians 3:16. It's been one that I've been quoting lately, and the gist of it, if I can paraphrase, it's just that God is wanting to use the power and the glory of his Holy Spirit to strengthen your inner man, to strengthen your base passions. Like, he is wanting to create in you a character that is able to handle the situations that come by you, to be able to be emotionally sober and act as Jesus acted.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Hey, we're going to get into our last quiz question for the day here, guys. Of course, the draw will be on Friday, 8:45 a.m. We're going to be spinning that wheel. So have opportunities all week. But guys, the more questions you get correct, the more chance you have to win. It's just simply that. Hey, next one here. Those that received the gift of tongues were able to do what according to Acts chapter 2? So in Acts chapter 2, these people, they received this gift. It's called the gift of tongues. What was that? What did it enable them to do by receiving the gift of tongues according to Acts chapter 2? 0491-064-669 is the number to text if you know the answer. If you do, you'll go into the draw for the Bible study companion set, Conflict of the Ages, one of the most incredible series of books that will be either life-changing for yourself or someone you know. This is a prize that you absolutely want. These are quiz questions that you absolutely want to answer and play. 0491-064-669. What was it that people were enabled to do when they received the gift of tongues in Acts chapter 2? Hey, we've got a text here from Margie. She says, I agree with Wayne. A few of Shell's CDs would go down well, especially in the home for us oldies. The phone is great in the car. Yeah, you know, and this is like my dad. I believe he's got like a hi-fi system with a CD player and a few people still rocking that. So maybe we should get the CDs out there.
Yeah, let's talk to Shell when she returns and see, you know.
See what we can do.
Yeah, we said that there's a public claimer. For her CDs.
The people want it. The people have spoken and they want it. You are listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. We've been talking about all kinds of things. Been talking about emotional, you know, our emotions, violence, you know, how we can control them. Yeah. What God has mandated from us in terms of being sober emotionally, being sober-minded and vigilant. I think definitely one of the ways that the devil gets us, as it says, he's going around like a roaring lion, yeah, seeing who he might devour, is through exploiting our emotions.
Yes.
Causing us to do evil.
And Wayne sent a message as well saying, hey, so, because we're talking here about the eye for an eye and explaining, you know, where it applied in the, you know, judicial system of, you know, the newly formed land of Israel, to prevent escalation of violence. And then Wayne mentioned, so why is Israel happy to keep killing? And, you know, look, Wayne, that's a good question. I wouldn't go as far to say that Israel is happy, you know, to keep killing. The way that I see is that there is not without wanting to justify any parties, but Israel says, look, there is an organization called Hamas that has vowed to not rest until they have destroyed and obliterated the whole of Israel. And they have attacked on October 7 and killed a number of innocent civilians, mothers, you know, elderly, babies, and so on. So the response that the government has taken is that, look, if it was me personally, I think that the best response would be, hey, let's all look for Jesus, find Jesus, accept Jesus. So therefore, everybody will look at each other as brothers and sisters and stop killing each other. And everybody will be felt forgiven by God and be able to forgive others. But since, you know, there's probably not anywhere near the radar of the political leaders of our day, I would say that their response was, okay, if we need to be safe, we need to exterminate the threat and we need to eliminate Hamas. Now, it is very hard because Hamas does not operate, you know, they do not wear uniforms. They hide underground. They use human beings as human shields at oftentimes. So there's a lot of collateral damage through that. So it's a very tricky situation. So I think that Israel is measuring, hey, what do we do? Do we just leave them continue doing these kinds of things, or do we go all the way through so we can eliminate the group and then finally enjoy some peace. It's not an easy choice to make.
This is such a complicated conflict, I think, to really come to a conclusion on as to right and wrong. And again, the gist of Wayne's question, because he was asking before about, are they acting according to Torah? I'll just say this. Has there been in the past a group of people who have claimed to believe or hold a certain standard that have then very much gone against that standard to act in their own personal interest? And the answer is like every major corporation ever, every, big, the Church of the Middle Ages, every country at some point, every political organization at some point, every person in power to enable them to keep their power or to grow in power has at some point, their public posturing of the certain standards that they believe, they've gone against them to the expense of others. Like this is the course of life. And I think especially for Israel, that is like we can look to the medieval church and we can see that very much taking place. But Israel is less of a church and more of a country,
a state,
right? And it's like, so how much less demand is there on them to keep to the ideals of Torah? The reality is that people will serve, will ultimately, unless they're consecrated to Christ, unless their heart is laid before him and they say, God, put my desires aside and put your desires in me, which equals, to being in line with the Jesus's commands to serve others, to turn the other cheek, to de-escalate violence. People will always act in self-interest to incredibly great extents to the detriment of others. So yeah, it's an incredibly sad situation that we see unfolding, but it is just ultimately revealing of the human condition and the need that we have to Jesus and that we have for Jesus. And I think sometimes we look to these big, we look to countries, we look to organizations, we look at the selfish evil things that we're doing and we're happy to criticize them. And hey, we even come here on radio and talk about the difficulties that, people are bringing upon others and the selfish ways they're acting. And we acknowledge that, but simultaneously we acknowledge that we are fallen and broken sinners. And if we are not consecrated to Christ, we are doing and have done the exact same thing on a personal micro level. As humans, who have sinful natures, we will always take the opportunity to act in self-interest. But when we can lay ourselves before Christ, when we can lay our burdens before him, when we can lay our heart before him, let him work, this is the only escape. This is the only way. As the Bible says, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change his spots? Leopard change its spots? And the answer is no. How then, yeah, as Jeremiah writes, how then who are accustomed to doing evil, yeah, how can you do good?
Yeah. And this is the human way of solving problems, responding violence with violence. And can that work? Well, it can. But is that sustainable? No, it is not.
Mm-mm.
It just generates infinite cycles
of death.
Of violence.
If violence is responded with always with violence, it's just death. It's extermination.
And this is why I think the Bible is very clear that the answer to the human problem is not found within human wisdom. It's not found within human beings. It will be only ultimately found in Jesus when he returns again. And he will be the righteous judge. He will be the righteous king, the ruler. Under him, no one will commit any atrocities. He will say, he'll transform their swords in plows.
Yeah.
The lion
will lay with the lamb like this.
And he's not going to do this with force, Lawson. Mm-hmm. Not by force, not by power, but my Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus comes to rule again into the whole universe, all of his subjects, meaning you and I, listener, and Lawson and Brian, all those who love Jesus and who are here, we will have a commitment in our own hearts to have an absolute radical commitment to love and to justice rather than violence and destruction. And this is what it's going to guarantee, that evil will not rise up a second time.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
It is now the time for us to read a couple of text messages and the quiz answers. And Wayne said, Lawson here, we are 6,000 years into this world and we should have learned something from our past. War is not the answer. I agree. Wayne, unfortunately, sin is still abiding in people's in human heart. And as long as sin exists, war, unfortunately, will exist as well. Bless Pastor Justin. We need to end emotional war worldwide only through Jesus. And then he sent a further message. Lawson, would you like to read the last
part? Yeah, he just says this. I think this conversation just ended an emotional war I've been having with myself. Thank you, praise God. And
praise God.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
We can at times be advocates for the truth. And this is something I've said on the show before. We're Protestants, right? And we come from a history of protesting, you know, of protesting and standing for biblical truth. But I believe in the right and in a godly way. But also we can every day make personal decisions to be a blessing to people. Like there is so much that we can't control and change. There is so little power that you, Joseph, myself, Brian, producer Shell, whoever, like there is such little power that we have. We're able to, you know, blast on the airwaves the gospel message and we're so grateful for that. But can we change, you know, the direction of political movements? I don't know. But what we can do is be a blessing in our own lives. What we can do is the people that we're interacting with day in day, whether it's a spouse, a brother, a parent, a friend, or someone we've never met before, someone disadvantaged, someone we're convicted to help, whatever it may be. All we can do is live up to the command that God has given us to truly love people as we love ourselves, to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Yes. Hey, this is within our reach, isn't it? Every day.
Absolutely. Hey, let's go through some quiz answers here. The book of Revelation describes the second death as, and the answer to that one was C, death and hell being cast into the lake of fire. And it's interesting, this concept, you see it very clearly in Revelation chapter 20, the idea of the second death.
That's right. This is the second death, the lake of fire, it says.
Yeah, and it's ultimately that not only it's talking about the complete destruction of the wicked, but furthermore, that death itself is destroyed. That there is no more sin, there is no more death. Like we're talking about the ultimate purging and cleansing of the universe from the things that have caused so much pain.
That's right.
Heartache.
The first death, the biological death that we all have to go through at some point, unless we are the last generation alive and standing when Jesus returns.
That's right.
This is going to be no more.
Yeah.
The Bible says.
The next one here, Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death and I will give you a crown of life.
Crown
it's beautiful
of life.
There. It talks about overcoming as well. We're talking about overcoming difficulties and emotions in our shows and how the only throughout the show and the only way to do that is by giving it to Christ. Truly, if we are able to overcome, and that overcome is given to us by God's power.
And can I say something, Lawson, about that verse as well? Is that God never asks us anything that he is not himself able to deliver in our own lives.
Yep.
If God has promised, it's his responsibility to deliver that. And he always does. So he says, be faithful unto death. He's saying, I'm actually able to be a God in your life in such a way that my faithfulness to you will even transcend the fear of death. It's not something that is within the human power, but it's something that is imparted by God. So if God says that we can be faithful unto death, it's because he can make us. And the only reason that he can do this is by lavishing his love unto us so strongly that we wouldn't even fear death compared to being unfaithful to him.
Absolutely. This is so beautiful. Hey, next one here. No scripture, according to 2 Peter in verse 1, came about because of a prophet's own what? It's private interpretation. I love this. It's saying, hey, look, prophets can be tested. You know, prophets, we can see, you know, what they're saying. It has been given to us, not just for their sake, but for our sake as well, to understand the future and the truth.
And this is the idea. Some people ask, hey, how can I trust in the Bible? How do I know that the prophet was just not making up his own words? And the Bible says, this hasn't happened. Now, you have to read the Bible and study it to see if this claim is real or not and satisfy. I think it is. But the Bible says, okay, this did never happen, ever, period.
Yeah. Okay. The next one here, King Saul originally sent for David so that he could play music for him to soothe his pain and his
great
troubles.
Great anger management strategy, by the way, listening to beautiful, uplifting spiritual songs.
And finally here, when the gift of tongues was given in Acts chapter 2, it didn't enable them just to speak some gibberish, but rather to speak in other languages to proclaim the gospel.
We are approaching the end of this show, but not without giving you, listener, an opportunity to give it, to receive a gift. And Lawson, what is your generous gift for today? This Lawson's special gift.
I'm giving you guys something cool this morning. Something cool. But hey, it's about the the title is this, Cooling Down Stress by Cameron Johnson. We've been talking about being able to have control of your emotions, to be emotionally sober and vigilant, as the Bible says. And hey, we have a resource here that is all about, it's Christian-based, Christ-focused, but how we're able to come over the difficulties that we're facing in our emotions. If you're someone who struggles with this, or maybe you know someone who struggles with this, 0491-064-669. Now, you don't need to answer any questions to win this prize. You just have to be the first texter through, and if you text through the word stress, you're the first one through, we'll give this to you absolutely for free. Again, Cooling Down Stress by Cameron Johnson, how to take the heat out of life's stresses. Are you struggling with anxiety? If you're struggling with anger, this book will be fantastic for you.
Fantastic. And in tomorrow's show, Lawson, we're going to be having an interview with Sam Bonello. He is one of the listeners' favorite. He's going to be talking about finance and about how to, you know, find some peace in your financial life as well, because of course you cannot be at peace if, you know, you cannot have the resources to pay your bills and the account.
Sure.
So you cannot miss tomorrow's show. We're going to be looking forward to have you. And remember to talk faith, live faith, and act faith, and you will grow stronger in Jesus Christ.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet again at Jesus' feet.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.